I have one particular passage of Scripture upon my heart and mind today that I want us to consider. I'm going to be reading from the 6th chapter of Matthew, a few verses of Scripture. Jesus is preaching the Sermon of Sermons. Now listen, folks, He was the preacher of preachers. I sense my weakness and my frailty as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know there's power in the Word. I know there's power in the gospel. I understand, I comprehend my inability. I know that God has to be present in our services. He has to accompany His Word. The gospel is still the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes it. But we're just frail creatures, and we are striving to inform others about this great blessing of eternal life that is through the blood and through the cross of Calvary. I've often said that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where they can find bread. And we have been privileged to experience bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said that He was that bread that came down from heaven. And He said, if you'll eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, you'll have everlasting life. And Christ will be in you, and you'll know for the surety that you're going to heaven. Now Jesus, when He was preaching, He dealt with a lot of issues of His time. Today, those same issues are very prevalent. The issues of religion are still very prominent. We still have the problem that Jesus had in His day, where a lot of things are very superficial, a lot of things are very carnal, a lot of things are very mental. And Jesus in His preaching began to address the heart of the issue. The issue was the heart. We cannot do a work in the heart. I don't know what your heart contains. I don't know what's upon your heart. I can't sense or feel your heart. I can only know what's going on in mine. Jesus began to address the religious Phariseeism of His day, and it was a heartless religion. A religion that became so ritualistic, systematic, and never addressed the depths of the heart. And His first sermon, now we're talking about the preacher of preachers, preaching the Sermon of Sermons, He began to address the things that were spiritual, the things that were deep inside a person's soul. He addressed the heart. The heart is the issue of our religion. The heart is the issue of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll begin reading of the 6th chapter of Matthew and just a few of the verses found in this great sermon. Starting in verse 19, I'll read three verses and maybe take a text. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to use a proverb taken from the 4th chapter of Proverbs. This is one of the most in-depth character-building proverbs there is, found in the 4th chapter of Proverbs. I had my children memorize the 4th chapter of Proverbs. It's so important, so needed. It examines and addresses a lot of issues of life. But it says in verse 23 in the 4th chapter of Proverbs that we are to keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of the heart flows the issues of life. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. the heart. The heart of man is very important. The word heart is used figuratively, of course, here. We think of the organ, the physical organ that pumps blood, but it's used figuratively here to describe the inner man. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians talked about how that the outward man can perish, but that the inward man can be renewed day by day. We are basically twofold. We're outer and inner. And so the inner man is what's being signified or described when the word heart is used in Scripture. It sometimes can refer to the will of man or the intelligence of man. Sometimes it's referred to as the center of something to get to the heart of the issue. We're talking about the center. Sometimes it is the seat of our appetite. It's referred to as the seat of our emotion or our passion. It's the place where things originate. The place where things originate in your life. So the heart is used in Scripture as a source of our personhood. It represents our inner person. Everybody say our inner person. Our inner person. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. This is the best definition found in the Old Testament concerning the definition of the heart. It is the source of our life, and out of that source of life, our inner being, our heart is the source of all that is the best of us and all that is the worst of us. Let me give you a little heart theology. In the Scriptures, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the heart is used with respect to our understanding. In Proverbs 23 and 26, the heart is used with respect to our affections. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, the word heart is used with respect to our memory. In 1 John 3 and 20, the heart is referenced with respect to our conscience. In Psalms 37 and 4, the heart is used with reference to our soul. I remember in the book of Genesis, reading one time when I was very young, before the judgment and wrath and destruction of this world, the antediluvian world, when water came and the flood came and destroyed this world with water, and it did happen, folks. Yeah, Noah built an ark. Has anybody here been up to see the ark in Kentucky? We ought to go, okay? Life was preserved on an ark. But God, before that time, looked down and he saw, and you can read this in the book of Genesis, he saw that the imagination and the hearts of men were evil continually. Listen, the heart matters. It brought judgment and wrath upon this earth. It destroyed the world with water. And I'll tell you why. Because the imagination and the hearts of men were evil continually. It's not just the centerpiece of our inner being. It is the chief part of who we are. The most vital part of who we are is dependent upon our hearts. It's one of the most scary places you'll ever visit. I should have got an amen. As Pat was describing the work of the Holy Spirit convicting her, that's where God pulls back the curtain on your own soul and lets you see your heart, your own heart. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus Christ said that all these evil things, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all these things come out of the heart. They come out of the heart. The terrible deeds of man that we see, that we read in the newspaper, that we see on television, the tragedy, the awful things that occur in our world, you know where they all, where the source of them is? The source of them is the hearts of men. Jesus said it's not what man takes in, it's what comes out of him. For out of the heart flow the issues of life. So we are to keep our heart. We're to keep our heart from being exposed to things, because you can contaminate your heart. Your heart can be contaminated by the things of the world. I've warned parents over and over again how important it is to not let a lot of evil things into the hearts of your children. Our children today are being overexposed. Overexposed to things that they're not mature enough to handle. They're not at an age where they can handle those evils that are out in the world, and we are exposed, overexposing our children. There's something called cognitive psychology, where they talk about the brain being a jungle, but each time that you visit a place, that you make a pathway to that place. Each time you visit that place, the pathway that's trod becomes more easily trod. You can go there more easily. Do you remember the day when you saw something or experienced something and got the heebie-jeebies? Huh? But now we go there all the time in our minds and it doesn't bother us a bit. Well, in that jungle of your mind, you've created a path, way that's easy to go down. And a lot of these young people are being exposed to way too much too soon. We're to keep our hearts. See, we have heavenly joy. We have heavenly love. And we need to have heavenly hearts. We need to set our affections on things above. We ought to think about divine things, heavenly things, spiritual things, joyful things, divine things that we've experienced in our life. We, through that, we're able to see God. So we ought to keep our hearts. We ought to keep our hearts. Let me just say a few things to the Christians. It's important for you to keep your hearts exposed to divine truth. It's important for you to go to Sunday school and have Bible study and pray and hear preaching. Amen? I mean, the kind of preaching that gets down in your soul and disrupts things in your heart. Amen? Stirs up your heart. That kind of preaching is what you need to hear. Not this fluff that's out there that paints this rosy picture that everything's just fine. You don't need health, wealth, and prosperity. I'll tell you what you need. You need the quickening of the Word of God to pierce you to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit that cuts to the very joints and marrows and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You need that kind of preaching. Amen? Yeah. Gets down in there and stirs things up a little bit. Now, this generation doesn't like that kind of preaching. Oh, come on. Come on. This house would be full if this generation loved that kind of preaching. Oh, we like that happy stuff. The happy juice, I like to call it. Yeah. Yeah, but I tell you what we need. We need the truth of God's Word. To set us right. To cause us to consider our hearts that we might be diligent in keeping it on the right path. Our hearts need to stay on the right path. The path that leads to life everlasting. Yeah, we need to keep in mind that our hearts is what determines a lot of our thoughts. Our hearts determine our thoughts. Have you ever had thoughts and you're like, where did that come from? Huh? Oh, come on. I'm not the only person. In this same sermon, Jesus said that if a man lusts after a woman in his own heart, he's committed adultery in his heart. I mean, stuff going on in your mind, but in your heart, you've committed adultery. He said earlier in the sermon, in the fifth chapter, in verse 22 and 23, if you become real angry, will you... And I almost did this yesterday when a lady honked at me. I tell you, that's a madhouse out there, isn't it? I tell you what, that's the Christian spirit. I don't have anything to do with Christmas. I mean, it was an accident. I mean, I pulled out of a parking place in the lane. She just pulled out there and honked. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That's not really what I thought. That's what I said. But Jesus said, you know, that seed of bitterness and angry where you call your brother, Raca, thou fool. He said, that is equated to murder. You do those those things in your mind, but in your heart, you have the seed in there to murder somebody. You have those thoughts in your mind, but you have the seed in your heart to commit adultery. Folks, our hearts need to be kept in line. We have to guard them and watch them. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, we do. So we have to look in ourselves. And you know, it's shocking to see that that seed is in there where we have the potential to commit those kind of crimes. And that kind of debauchery. And I mean, it's terrible, isn't it? Those things come from our hearts. Those thoughts. Those feelings. They come out of your heart. Now Jesus said that. He made that really clear. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded according to Luke, or maybe it was the Sermon on the Plain rather, in the same sermon basically was preached twice. So if I preached the sermon twice sometime in the last 21 years, Jesus did it. Anyway, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, he said, "A good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." If you got a good heart, good stuff will come out of it. But he says, "An evil person out of an evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." In Matthew 15 and 18, Jesus said, "That which proceedeth out of your mouth, it comes out of your heart. And that which comes out of your mouth and comes out of your heart defiles you." It defiles a man. Now, we know some of these evils by heart. We really do. They're not just things we say and think. We know them by heart. They're in us. The likes and dislikes of things, the do's and the don'ts, they originate from the heart. The axiom of life flows from the heart. The axiom of life comes from the heart. As go your heart, so goes your life. Are you with me? You know, home is where your heart is. We sang this morning, "This world is not my home." We need heavenly hearts. Amen? Just like I preached last Sunday night about heavenly joy, we need heavenly love. We can have heavenly joy because Jesus brought that joy to us. We can have heavenly love because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we can have heavenly hearts because Jesus came to establish the new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. What's the new covenant? In the 10th chapter of Hebrews and the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, I mean, in the book of Jeremiah, many times the new covenant is explained and expounded. People that are in the new covenant are the saved in Christ Jesus. People out of the covenant are unsaved, right? But he said, "I will make a new covenant with them." Well, how would he do that? Ezekiel talked about obtaining a new heart. Amen? He takes out the stony heart. And let me say this. The heart many times is described as hardened. I mean, it's hardened. Amen? You don't want anything to get in there. You don't want the gospel to penetrate your heart. The devil helps to keep your heart hard. You can have a soft heart or you can have a hard heart. In the book of Corinthians, Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." Everybody say, "Those that are lost." "In whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts through the face of Jesus Christ." Jeremiah said, "My word is a hammer." Why should preaching be represented figuratively as a hammer? Why is the word of God a hammer? is because of the crusty, hard exterior part of your soul that keeps the gospel from going in. The hardness of your heart needs to be busted. And I tell you, there's only one thing that'll bring you down, and it's the Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. So we preach the Word. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word, and I'll tell you what. Listen, the truth is important. Amen? The truth about your soul. You have to come to the knowledge of the truth before you can ever be saved. Amen? Your heart has to be opened. Just like Lydia's heart in the book of Acts. The Bible says her heart was opened. She was able to listen to the Apostle Paul's preaching. She received the Word. And as many as gladly received the Word, they got saved. Amen? You got to receive the truth of the Word. The Bible says the Lord opened Lydia's heart. I tell you, that preaching got in. And I believe the Spirit of God is here to cause the Word of God to get in your soul. And we were begotten again by unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. Being born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, Jesus said, people draw near to me with their mouth. They draw near unto me and they honor me with their lips. But in Matthew 15:8, he says, their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are far from me. Jesus taught many parables about the heart. He taught one in the 13th chapter of Matthew. In verse 19, he talked about the devil coming into your soul and taking out the truth that's planted there. He talked about the gospel being like a sower that goes forth to sow precious seed. And it lands in all these different kinds of ground. Remember that parable? We were taught that when we were young. Some on stony ground, you know. Some of it was on weedy ground. Some of it was on, you know, ground that was good. He talks about the stony ground and he says, you know, the seed's laying out there. And he says the devil comes and takes it away. Takes it out of your heart. See, because the Word of God can germinate. See, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And it's planted in your soul. And if you will be diligent to let it just germinate there, let the Spirit of God, listen to the Spirit of God, work to you in your heart and your soul, you can find the Lord. And bring forth much fruit. He said in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, the devil, catcheth away that which is sown in the heart. He said, this is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. Well, I think it all starts at the center. And it works its way out. I wish you could see my heart. I really do. Jesus begins this great sermon in the 5th chapter of Matthew. And he says, blessed is the man that has a pure heart. A pure heart. You know, David said, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. He said in the 51st Psalm, cleanse my heart. He asked the question in the 23rd Psalm, how can you ascend into God's holy hill? How can you come into the presence of God? He said, only the person that has a clean and pure heart. How are you going to get a clean and pure heart? You can't go to heaven without one. He said, those who have a pure heart, they will see God. They'll see God. Now, I think we not only get to see God in heaven through the face of Jesus Christ. I see God here today in Providence and in history, in circumstances and situations. I see God all around me working in people's lives. I see God in my family and my friends. I see God in this church, among His people. I see God in our country. Though it gets dim from time to time, God is still here. I see God through the eye of faith. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I can't see God without my heart being right, my heart being pure, and my heart being cleansed. I think in the 24th Psalm, brother, not 23rd Psalm, the 24th Psalm, that David was going up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was contemplating going up to Zion, and he just gets stopped in his tracks. He's just going to church. And he gets stopped in his tracks, and he realizes he's got to come into the presence of a holy God. And he says, How am I going to do that? And he realized he needed something that comes from above. He needed his heart changed. In the new covenant agreement, he would not just take out the stony heart and put a new heart in us, but he tells us that he would write his laws on our heart and put a right spirit in us. And he said, everybody that's in the new covenant wouldn't know the Lord. Now, that knowledge that we read about, the Greek word is epignosko. It means a personal, intimate, experimental knowledge. It's the same word used when it said Mary, the Virgin Mary, never knew a man. A real, intimate, personal, experimental knowledge that your soul has with God. Amen? He says, those are the people that are under the new covenant. Well, I'm going to close. Let's get to the heart of the issue. You know what keeps you from being saved? Do you really know what keeps you from finding God, I mean truly finding God, really experiencing God? It's not theology. It's not preconceived notions and ideas. It's not something you heard or went through. It's a dark heart. A heart that's black. But I have good news. I have good news. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ can shine in your heart today. Actually, the scriptures, God's holy word, God's infallible word says that's exactly what happens to every true believer. The light of the glorious gospel shines inside the heart. Now, the devil's trying to keep that from happening. Okay, but if you'll surrender and you'll come and call upon God and turn from your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ, believe upon Him with all of your heart, you can be saved today. Amen? Yeah. I want us to stand and sing a verse of some song. I believe that religion, that the salvation that Christ came to bring, the work of the church, is to set forth the truth in a way that changes hearts. Okay? Changes hearts. You need a transformation of the heart. You need Christ to be in your heart. He's either there or He's not there. The light of the gospel is either shining there or it's dark there. Your heart is either hard or soft. You can have a new heart in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to change our hearts. May you have a heart transplant today. Know for an assurance that Christ is in your heart. Let's stand and sing. Is there somebody here lost and undone? This altar is open. I pray that the impurities and the filth and the sin that stains your soul, that you'll come to the blood and have that removed as far as the east is from the west. Yeah. Experience the forgiveness of sin. Know that the Spirit of God lives within you. You can't function as a Christian until Christ is in your heart. May He be planted there today. May the Word of God germinate and bring 100-fold and 1,000-fold in your heart and life as we sing. Is there somebody here today and you've never been saved? Can you really cry out like David did in the 34th Psalm? My heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. Can you say that? Huh? Can you say, my heart is clean, my heart is clean? Can you honestly say that Christ is in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit? Can you honestly say, I know I have the confirmation of being a child of the new covenant? In the second chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul said, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Because circumcision is of the heart. Have you had that? Have you had that? Okay. Romans chapter 2, last part of the chapter. Oh man, that covenant that Abraham entered into to be a child of God, and to be the people of God, was the covenant of circumcision. Paul comes along and says, through Jesus Christ and the new covenant, that agreement, that contract occurs when God does an operation in the heart. Blood has to be there. Let me just say that. Amen? Amen? Yeah. The blessed blood of Jesus Christ has to be there.